Okay, the hardest part is finding the examples. That's why I wanted you to take some time to think about it. So what did I do? I went through and gathered the submodalities, a visual, auditory, and kinesthetic for both. When she said, oh, what were some of the words that she said? Satisfaction. What is it that about your submodalities that get you to say, this leaves me with a sense of satisfaction? Because that's content. We want to know, well, what is it? And when the food said it wants to be eaten, that's when you know, oh, there must be something about the submodalities. And it turned out that it was this glossy image. And notice how that's real different than the sepia, far away, fuzzy image. So compulsions often have with them, they're big, bright, colorful, and they're right there in front of you saying, eat me, eat me. Yeah. Okay, so we gathered the information about each, breaking state in between, check ecology. Just like what, so does any part object to you having new choices here? And what were we doing negotiating with the part? The part was thinking she would be a bore. So how is she going to communicate in such a way that she doesn't make herself a bore if she's determined about making choices about food? And once there was some negotiation around that that would work, then she goes, okay, let's do it. And then my preference, this is only a Susie thing, is to take all of the submodalities for what work, take it out and make it a dot on the horizon, and then move them over with the new content where you're going to be adding it in, and one at a time, focus on what you think were the most prevalent submodalities. And in this case, it was the solid, firm, and the music. Sense of determination, that's like having a marching band there reminding you continuously of what you've done. Very creative. And let it settle in, and then you future pace it and test it. Okay? Do you need me to put a mind map up for you? Shall do it. And while I'm doing that, ask me questions.
Were you touching her?
I was not touching her on the back. You know, that question came up. Did I establish any kinesthetic anchors? I was not, but I was referring to it. You know, kind of moving my hand up and down. Yeah, are you? Yes? When?
Yeah.
Before you map across. Okay, so if you remember, I know it's been a whole month, back to what we were doing last time, we were using two different spaces, but we were focusing on the physiology and the internal state. Now, did you notice different physiologies and internal states in these two spaces? Very definitely. I mean, what was funny is, and I hate to talk about people, but I just can't help but talk about you, Elena. When she looked at that glossy food, her whole body lit up, and it was just, I mean, it was like the lights came on. She got bigger this way, you know. So that's the physiology associated with wanting that, feeling compulsed to eat. Yeah. Whereas over here, it was a quiet, and she said, I feel taller, and it seemed taller to me. Too. So the physiology attached to the activity was different. And the internal state for this one is an incredible sense of determination. I mean, it's just like this solidity, whereas with the food, it was like, Oh, yeah. It looked, and when I said light up, that was the experience. It was like she turned lights on and she was glowing from the inside out. And you saw the color come up in her cheeks and everything. Mm-hmm. Licking her lips, yeah. Now, the reason I didn't put the taste anchor and some modalities up here is because that's just for food. She's not going to typically have taste with other things she does in life. So I left that out. Okay, so we do a contrast between what works and what doesn't work. If I write it that way, do you all follow that? So this would be resourceful. What works is resourceful. What doesn't work is unresourceful. Okay, so we're contrasting and gathering submodalities. I did that by asking her to step back into the situation where this occurred. And I said, what are you aware of? And with the, we could get the visual easily with the food, but we could not get any visual easily with the other. So you start with whatever is easiest for the person to do. Don't assume that everybody will start with visual, even though many of us do, okay? So you gather submodalities one at a time, the way I was doing it. And the way you do it, is it this or that? Two choices, near or far. Is it small or large? Is it located in the right ear or the left ear? Is it loud or soft? Okay, so you're always asking between two things, and you have a long list of submodalities in your book. Remember, we went over those last time? Okay, so you're gathering B, A, and K for both. All right?
So, could I ask you, so were you trying to go through like the whole list of submodalities or watching for which ones?
The ones that we focused on last module, there are six or seven that are key in visual, especially because visual has that long, long, long list, right? And so it's usually distance, location, size, brightness, color versus black and white, movement. You've got it in, thank you, on page 38. Those that we went through, those are the primary ones, Nancy. Now, you wouldn't typically think to notice glossiness in a picture. But because this was about feeling compulsed to eat something, that pops up.
So but you tend to use the main ones.
The main ones. And with auditory, it's location, it's speed, it's the up and down tonality. With kinesthetic, I go over the whole list. Does it have movement? Is it a temperature, texture? Where is it located? You use those same, I ask about those same submodalities. And then I often will say, what else do you notice? And that's where the glossiness popped up, okay? So in the visual, auditory, and kinesthetic, you're checking all the submodalities. And I created spatial anchors to do that. Just because then you keep it separate. When you're talking about it, you step back to a meta position. Once you have gathered the submodalities, then you check ecology. And remember the primary question I taught you to ask last time is, does any part of you object to you having new choices regarding this? So I ask objections to new choices. If objections come up, which they often will, then negotiate. What would you need for you to consider letting this work? To the part, you're communicating directly with the part. Once you have agreement that it's okay to proceed, then you map across. So bring the submodalities of what works, that's resourceful, into the other context, which when in this case was food, and map it across. That's what we mean by mapping across. Okay? Then you test and future pace. Test, what's it like now, is my question to ask for. And then you have them in a future situation, imagining they have this, whatever they need. It'll be different than for you than it was for Elena. Questions about how to do it.
Really emphasize that submodalities are sensory-based terms. And when you go to elicit submodalities with someone, almost without fail, they will give you evaluations of how they feel, or the evaluations content. Of the sense of content, rather than giving you the actual what they see, hear, and feel. So as a guide, you're going to have to really tune into this. And when they say, it's good, you got to say, well, what is good? How, you know, what is letting you know it's good? Or if they say it's peaceful, okay, well, what are you feeling, seeing, or hearing that lets you know that this is peaceful? So as a guide, you really need to tune into that. The explorer is kind of going to have to depend on you to break that down and go deeper with that.
And then you can say, could it be this or this? You don't just offer one choice. So since you're saying peaceful, could it be that it's slow or is it fast? You know, because you guess that peaceful might have to do with the sense of movement inside. Okay? But if you do anything besides ask questions, oftentimes you're actually installing some modalities versus just finding out what they are. So it's fun. It's fun to play with this because it can make a huge difference, as you see. Yes.
The resourceful state into the unresourceful situation, you're basically bringing that feeling and then asking the person, well, how do you feel this feeling in this situation, and kind of asking them to integrate the two.
You're bringing this way of thinking into the content of this, and you're replacing this way of thinking with this way of thinking. So this is focused on, and what should shift is the state, the internal state, as well as the physiology, because you can't separate them out.
And then you're asking, well, how does, like, for me, so how does that piece of food look to you?
Right.
Okay.
So go back to where we started, and what's shifted about your internal experience now. And you're aware that the feeling has definitely shifted. The feeling of compulsion is no longer there that you had before, like, oh, I don't have any choice. Now you have a sense of choice that you didn't have before. Now, when I mapped it across, the one thing, and I'm not sure how to, I take everything out, make it a small dot out here. That means gather up all the submodalities that work, and then I bring it back. So I guess this goes that way. This goes from here back. So that it's just a way I found that mapping across submodalities works for me, is to gather it all up and put it out there and then let it gradually come back in. Then I have time to mention this is, and you saw she had already gone to the auditory before I even got there. I bring the marching band and it was already doing it, you know. So Some people need your direction. They need you to tell them to shift every one of them. Other people will just, the whole thing will go all at once. And you'll be behind like I was with her. But all we care about is that they get the change, not how fast it occurred. Okay, questions about how to do it?
Just on that last little part, you gather all the seven modalities together over in this part, you get ready to make a shift, you send them out here, and then you kind of leave them out here,
well,
and then you go back.
What you do is you lead them out there, and then I usually have them, it's a ritual, to step over to the other space and say, okay, now we're going to bring all of those submodalities that worked in the other way, that way of thinking, back in to you imagining being in the context where you're looking at food. And you switch each one. But I focused first on what comes back that you're most aware of initially is the feeling in your back, that firm, solid. Yeah. So that, because that, we call those driver submodalities, the one that seemed to be driving it the most. And the driver submodality for the compulsion, what do you think that one was?
Glossy.
Glossy, yeah. The visual, glossy. That was what was driving the compulsion. And when that disappears, the compulsion's no longer there. Aaron. Well, it was in that context, in the context of food, that's what was driving it, yes. But maybe not in other, because that certainly wasn't what was driving her determination here. It was the kinesthetic sensation in her body. You want to make sure you diminish what was strongest in the unresourceful and augment what was strongest in the resourceful.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Yeah. We're building on what works. We're letting go.
Emphasize the strongest.
That's right. You're emphasizing what works.
Yeah.
It's 10 minutes to 4, and this is the first time that you have gathered detailed submodalities. So the first time through may take you a little longer because you haven't done this before. So let's say a half hour each. I will check with you to make sure you're on task. So when I go around and go ding, 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 that means it's time to switch, okay? So a half hour each person, okay? All right, go for it.